All right, so Riley Gaines is criticized by Representative Katie Porter. J.K. Rowling is defended by Judy Blume, but she quickly walks back that defense, and Morgan Freeman speaks out against Black History Month and the term African American. Plus, I have a cold. Let's get into it. All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. If you're thinking, Amala, you sound semi-sickly right now, it's because I have a cold and I'm subjecting Scott to it. Scott's in the producer's bay.
It's all right. I'm holding my breath.
Taylor is not here today, but he will be back on Wednesday. Let's get into the stories from this very morning, this very auspicious Monday. Here is Representative Katie Porter of the U.S. Senate, who was recently on Bill Maher's show to discuss a multitude of topics, but the topic of Riley Gaines came up. You all know Riley Gaines is the NCAA female swimmer who is an actual biological female who was forced to compete against Leah Thomas. And Riley Gaines has spoken out about Leah Thomas's presence, not only on the female end of swimming, but also in female spaces, and particularly vulnerable ones like locker rooms. Now, Representative Katie Porter says she disagrees with Riley Gaines somehow, in some way, shape, or form. Let's hear her try to defend those views when talking to Piers Morgan and Bill Maher.
He should be able to have a civil debate. Nobody, including Riley Gaines, who I disagree with strongly, should
feel physically... What do you disagree with out of interest?
I think that it should be up to sporting bodies to make the decisions about who and
how
should
compete. What has she said that's actually wrong?
I think that what she has done is try to turn this. We talked about people, you know, becoming, using things to kind of get likes and get clicks.
That's not what she's doing.
It's,
I mean,
not?
I've got no truck for Riley Gaines personally, but all I...
Yeah, Riley Gaines is speaking out on a super controversial issue and being the lone woman to do it for clicks and for likes, and to also get assaulted when she goes to speak at events about protecting female spaces. It seems like a really advantageous thing on her part to speak out against somebody like Leah Thomas. You know, why follow the crowd of people who are constantly committing erasure of women? Instead, step out of the bounds and do so for likes and affirmation, because that's exactly what Riley Gaines is getting.
I've seen her do is stand up for women's rights to fairness and equality.
Well, she
actually competed against Leah Thomas, and it was obviously unfair. Leah Thomas won one of the races in the NCAA championships by 50 seconds against a bunch of biological females who simply couldn't keep up. That cannot be right. It cannot be fair.
That is something that I trust, I think our sporting bodies should be dealing with. And by the way, Riley is speaking up for herself, and that is her prerogative, and I respect her free speech.
I think she's speaking up for pretty much every female athlete in the world.
I'm glad to hear that the crowd is on the side of Piers Morgan, because with a Bill Maher crowd, you really never know what you're going to get. Sometimes they're completely just Looney Tunes, like when Dennis was on the show, Dennis Prager, and he sat there on the panel and said, you know what, the left thinks that men can menstruate. And Bill Maher looked at him and was like, absolutely not, I have not heard that. And the crowd goes wild. They're laughing at Dennis. They're cheering for Bill. And Dennis goes, no, absolutely. The left thinks that men can menstruate. Now we flip to Bill Maher circa 2023, and Piers Morgan is having to defend a woman who is competing against biological men in her respective sport. And the crowd is cheering for Piers Morgan. What a shift we've undergone.
Isn't that the point of Title IX? Title IX in the early 70s was something that was it was a major event in feminism, that we finally have this law that says at colleges, right, and I think high schools too, but definitely colleges, women's sports have to be given equal to men's sports, so that women aren't getting, you know, and this led to the WNBA and lots of other stuff. This seems to be the opposite of that. It seems to be so many instances, I think, where wokeness is the opposite of what I grew up as liberalism. Liberalism was, let's give the women an equal shot. This is, let's put a male in the swimming pool with the women. I don't get it.
It's crazy. And meanwhile, trans people who genuinely want to compete at athletics and swimming or whatever it may be, they're the ones who are suffering here. They need to be found a way to compete fairly and justly.
Well, what's your answer then?
I think there's one or two answers.
We don't have an answer for how we fairly and justly allow them to compete. So let's just allow them to compete against women. Because she has no alternative. She hasn't thought about it long enough to figure out what a fair and just solution would look like. So let's just allow biological men to compete against women. And when asked to substantiate why you disagree with Riley Gaines, who is an advocate for women's rights, she goes, well, I just think we should listen to our sports governing bodies. It's awfully familiar because during the whole COVID-19 pandemic, just listen to the experts. Just listen, just, you know, find your rank in the hierarchy, listen to the people above you, and just take whatever they say as if it's gold that has fallen from the sky and now sits in your lap. Never mind the fact that they're peeing on you and telling you that it's raining. They are the governing bodies. Listen to the NCAA that is allowing biological men to compete against women. Don't question the narrative.
I think they either compete against their biological sex, as many of them did before, or you create an entirely new category for a transgender athlete.
Simple answer.
And they're able to compete fairly. But what you cannot do is continue to allow more and more trans athletes to start decimating women's records, in some cases, irrevocably. It's just not fair.
Okay, I gotta end it there.
Yeah, but in everybody else's eyes, you know, if you're a modern day leftist watching this, Bill Maher and Piers Morgan are patriarchal white heterosexual men. And Katie Porter is the one who is meant to be believed and the one we're meant to stand by, as we are quite literally watching two men defend the rights of women across from a woman who is advocating for our erasure. It's just wild to me to watch a biological woman sit there and say it should be totally fine for somebody like Leah Thomas to compete against women.
Yeah, and I can only assume that, I mean, she's on board with the feminist movement, and this only spits in the face of that movement itself, and she's supporting its downfall with being championing these transgender individuals.
Right, which is what I say when it comes to leftism, you're only the victim for now. You're only the victim for now. So when we went through our whole like feminist movement and we're fighting for women and hashtag me too, hashtag believe all women, you're the victim for now. As soon as somebody else with some other identity marker that we claim to be more marginalized than you comes along, you got to shift over and you have to do whatever it is to give up your freedom, your power, your privileges so that they can feel the power and privilege. And right now we're in the trans movement where they are the ones who gain everything and every other previous victim has to step aside. Now, I want to see if I can find this clip of Dennis on Bill Maher talking about how they're saying men can menstruate. I'm going to try and find this, do a quick little Twitter search here.
And yeah, you were talking about the change in like the Bill Maher like audience and them cheering for it. And that's a beautiful change, seeing that, oh, minds can change if you start speaking sense over and over again, because
right.
It's truth will out.
Exactly. And it's just unfortunate that it took this long when you had somebody who was warning you years prior that this was going to happen. And here's the clip. Here's Dennis in 2019 on Bill Maher.
These are giant left-wing lies.
We're talking about degrees.
To say that men can menstruate is a lie. And that is now, that is what is said.
Yes. Wait, where did that
come from?
You never heard it, right? Okay. Check it out, folks. Check it out. Anyone who says
wrong.
A man cannot menstruate is considered transphobic.
I missed this whole story.
You did?
I did.
Tell
me where you're getting
it. Just Google it. Can men menstruate?
Who is saying this? You're
who
talking about a very small
percentage. Oh, really? Then how do you allow men, biological men, to run against women in the races in Connecticut and set all the high school records?
Okay, but that's...
They're called men.
No.
The Nation magazine said they're women.
Okay, but I would agree with you on that. The way you framed it is nonsense.
Framed it perfectly accurately.
No, you didn't. What you're talking about is, yes, someone who is transgendered, was a man, now claims to be a woman, is a woman, okay, is beating the dog shit out of other women in the race because, of course, they have more muscle mass. And even Martina Navratilova came out and said, this is ridiculous. You might as well not have women's sport. This is a far cry from saying men can menstruate.
I agree.
But that's not where any...
A far cry, huh? A far cry, huh, Billy Boy? And we just checked in on his show where he's quite literally arguing with a woman over whether or not men can be allowed in women's spaces. And guess what? These people are claiming that men can menstruate. We had Stephen King, you know, the famous author, tweet out, you know, if men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. And what happened? Not the left, you know, piling on to support him and say, what a beautiful point you've just made, Stephen King. They piled on him to say, men can get pregnant. How dare you say that men can't get pregnant in our current society? Oh, but we're a far cry away. Far cry.
Even the left can't get their own ideas straight.
Yep.
It's that convoluted.
They're not straight, and they can't get their ideas straight. Oh, God.
But you. True.
Okay.
At the University of Berkeley men's room, tampons are given out. Check it out. UC Berkeley men's rooms have tampon dispensers.
Would you say
that's
Dennis,
probably because men are pussy whipped and their girlfriend said, go get me a tampon. That's why.
That's a much more logical.
Okay, all right. Moving on to the next. Dennis, I remember you in the old show, you were a little more reasonable.
What did I say that wasn't unreasonable?
You said that we think that men menstruate one does. Have you heard about it?
I'm a doctor. I missed that one, I confess.
And this is one of the premier reporters. He knows everything. These people are very... He's a doctor.
Okay.
He's one of the great investigators.
I would make a friendly bet that the LGBTQ normative statement is men can menstruate.
I mean, good for Dennis for taking that on the chin, as people are just laughing in his face when he's saying something that is clear and true. Clear and true. And has he since been invited back on Bill Maher for an apology over this moment? Or at least a retraction of what was said during this moment? No. No. That's never happened. But now Bill Maher gets to rake in all the cheers of having changed his mind on this subject matter while never going back to reconcile the fact that he did this to Dennis Prager when he was on his show. Now, I don't harbor any ill will towards Bill Maher. I just want to throw the acknowledgement out there that a man years ago sat on his show and told him, this is exactly what's happening, and you should probably be made aware of it. And that man was laughed at by not just Bill Maher and his group of panelists, but the entire crowd. And it just shows, these people are so susceptible to whoever's, saying something confidently enough. I'm never going to listen to the applause of a crowd to figure out whether or not somebody is right or wrong, because they're so easily swayable. They're just so susceptible to anybody's opinion so long as they say it in the right way and package it in the right way. So here we are in 2023 with Bill Maher now advocating for the rights of women and saying that there are plenty on the left who are saying that men can menstruate. Oh, how times have changed. Oh, how times have changed. Now, the author Judy Blume, who, I'll be honest, I was not super familiar with, but has plenty of very popular books, recently didn't. An interview where they spoke about J.K. Rowling and her, of course, controversy among the gender activists and the woke left for having stepped out and trying to protect women. And Judy Blume said, and quote, I support J.K. Rowling 100%. I don't think she was anticipating the amount of backlash that she was going to get in having said that. But of course, the gender activists then descended upon her and had to set her straight, or, I don't know, set her trans on the issue at hand of gender ideology. And instead of standing by her statement of I 100% support J.K. Rowling, which could have been a false statement in the moment, I will give her that, Judy Blume came forward and posted this little graphic on Twitter. I wholly support the trans community. My point, which was taken out of context, is that I can empathize with a writer or person who has been harassed online. I stand with the trans community and vehemently disagree with anyone who does not fully support equality and acceptance for LGBTQIA+ people. Anything to the contrary is total bullshit. So she publishes this apology. It gets 102,000 likes on Twitter, and Judy Blume is then again accepted into the woke mob for having denounced her prior statement in support of J.K. Rowling. Now, it could very well be that her statement was taken out of context, and she didn't mean to say that I support J.K. Rowling 100%, or if she said it, she only meant that I support J.K. Rowling through this hard time of internet harassment that she's having to struggle through. But that seems a little strange to me. It seems as though the woke mob came after you and came after you hard, like they normally do, and you decided to bow with a beautiful little infographic like everybody else does when the woke mob comes after them. Now, she's been getting a fair amount of criticism from people saying you should have not display such cowardice. But others are saying, thank you for clarifying. Here's one from Tessa Dare, who said, thank you so much for clarifying. I hope that with a little more context, you'll see that the harassment victims here are the trans women, men, and kids that J.K. Rowling has hurt with her massive platform. She is now the de facto spokesperson for a movement that endangers their lives and health. Another day in clown world. Of course, you all know I stand by the statements of J.K. Rowling. I do not stand by the statements of Judy Blume. And if it is what I think it is, and she's just been motivated by the woke mob and maybe a feeling of, I'm not going to sell books to these people because I said this thing about support of J.K. Rowling. You can't allow cowardice to take over your body like this. Like, you need to stand for something that is true. And yes, standing for truth does come with consequences. And those consequences are, yeah, people don't want to buy your books. People are calling you, you know, a TERF. They're calling you transphobic. But at what point do we just decide truth is more important and that we're willing to face the consequences of telling the truth? I don't know. Judy Blume has not made that decision for herself. We'll see if she circles back and realizes that you probably shouldn't apologize to a mob in this way. It doesn't really ever work out in your favor because now you've just displayed a certain amount of cowardice. And now you've reinforced the idea that if you come after somebody super hard and you just criticize them for their own opinion, they will bow to you and they will end up apologizing in one of these beautiful Times New Roman infographics. Which nobody cares at the end of the day, right? Nobody cares at the end of the day that you apologize. They're not going to mark it off in their calendar and then start supporting you again. They really don't care. They just want to know that they are capable of crushing you.
Yeah, this is TLDR all the way. Like, nobody's going to spend the time to read this, honestly. Yep. And the damage is already done.
It is. Like, you can't go back once you've said something for the most part. Now, of course, you're going to have people say, thank you so much for clarifying. And I'm thank you so much for recognizing just how transphobic J.K. Rowling is. I wonder when those people realize that J.K. Rowling is doing the right thing. I wonder if that will ever happen. There's never going to be a J.K. Rowling apology tour. Mm-mm. No. She's done, but she's still going to be successful, luckily, with the work that she's created. And that's the sad part, is there's a bunch of other people who are just like J.K. Rowling who feel the same way, but they don't have the platform and the success that she has to maintain their livelihoods after having said the truth. And maybe that's the situation that Judy Blume is in. She said the truth, and now she's scared that she won't be able to maintain her livelihood after she's done that. But we'll check back in on that story. Lastly, in celebrity news, we've got Morgan Freeman, which we all know Morgan Freeman's based, right? He said the way that we get over race is to stop talking about it. I will not be, you know, saying you're a white man. You do not call me a black man. We just stop talking about it. Now, he's hit the news again in Variety.com for saying that Black History Month is an insult and that so is the term African American. Which, these are very common, at least in the American lexicon. When Black History Month rolls around, we all bow down to our Black counterparts in our society. I half bow down to myself and have a fun little month. And Black History Month, does anybody really do anything for Black History Month? Other than say it's Black History Month and kind of like virtue signal on the internet about it?
Yeah, I can say personally, I don't.
I can't say that I do either. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Black History Month. I don't think it's very helpful to just sort of corral black history into one month and say this is your time. You should recognize that Black people have been present all throughout not only American history, but the history of several other countries. And we should acknowledge that just as it arises. As we're talking about history and Black people are involved, we should just talk about that history. We don't have to have a specific month to go, here you go, Black people. Here's your 28 days on the calendar. And here's where we will discuss your contributions, be it good contributions or the transgressions of your past. Just doesn't make sense to me. But people get pissed about that because we're supposed to give everybody their day. We're supposed to have the Pride Month, the Hispanic Heritage Month, the Black History Month, the Women's History Month. They're all over the place. It's hard to keep track. But we're all supposed to have our own months, and that's supposed to make us feel better about the injustices of the past. Now, Morgan Freeman has been doing his press tour for his new movie, A Good Person, and he stated that he's insulted by Black History Month and the term African American. Quote, two things I can say publicly that I do not like. Black History Month is an insult. You're going to relegate my history to a month? Also, African American is an insult. I don't subscribe to that title. Black people have had different titles all the way back to the N-word, and I do not know how these things get such a grip, but everyone uses African American. What does it really mean? Most black people in this part of the world are mongrels, and you say African as if it's a country when it's a continent like Europe, which is a fair point, and I don't know that I've ever thought about it that way.
Neither
have I. Like, we've all just labeled ourselves and other black people as African American, just like this whole continent. I don't ever hear people refer to themselves as European Americans.
No.
It's very rare. Asian Americans have theirs. They have their whole continent, so that'll be fair. I guess we split them that way. But it's really interesting to just hear it worded like that, and I certainly never thought about it that way. I would have said, just inherently, what does being African have to do with my existence whatsoever? What does being black have to do with my existence? And it's so interesting that he says, I don't know how these words get such a grip, because they have gotten such a grip. African American is now, you know, just the typical term that we use to refer to black people, or we use black, which black doesn't really make sense either, because we come in all different shades and none of the shades are black. They're all different shades of brown, last time I checked. So black doesn't really make sense. And then the N-word has been sufficiently held onto, at least in like rap music and being used. It's just a throwaway term that you refer to your friends as. Why do we feel the need to take on these labels instead of just referring to each other as people? And Morgan Freeman has been saying this for a while now, and it's always been an unpopular thing to say, but he's Morgan Freeman. Like, who's going to say something? Who's going to tell Morgan Freeman he's wrong?
Yeah, it would only be like James Earl Jones would be able to match the vocal timbre right. of that.
You just can't tell Morgan Freeman he's wrong about something. He's just like a wise old man who's been ever present in all of our upbringing and anybody who's been invested in American media. But I see this sort of idea coming up more and more. Denzel Washington also said, I'm very proud to be black, but black is not all that I am. And Morgan Freeman sort of echoed that statement and said, yes, I'm in total agreement with the way that you've said that. You can't define me in that way. And to be black sure means something, but it doesn't mean much. And it doesn't tell you much about who you are as an individual. Idris Elba, another famous black actor, said, I'm tired of being called a black actor. Just call me an actor. Just give me roles for actors. I don't want to be the first black person to have done something or the first black actor to do something. I want to be the first Idris to do something. I want to be myself. I want to be held in my own individual uniqueness rather than being forced to be a part of some group that maybe I do or maybe I don't identify with. So as this changes and as more people get comfortable saying these things, I wonder what happens? Because we know that a large part of why people believe the things that they believe is because they fall for what's culturally accepted. And a lot of them fall for whatever celebrities say. And celebrities, for the most part, toe the line of leftism. So when you hear from people like Morgan Freeman or Denzel Washington or Idris Elba, who, you know, may not be the most popular among like Gen Z, they're kind of falling by the wayside as things get younger and younger. But as you hear them say it, it's going to become more acceptable to step out and say, you know what? I don't understand this. And really, I've never understood it. But it's just a part of the lexicon and people continue to label me in this way. I don't want this label. And tomorrow we'll be reacting to hate TikToks that I found on the internet. And when I was going through some of these people who were hating on my videos, a lot of them were saying, you must not know that you're black. You must not know that that's the way the world sees you. You must not know the community that you're a part of. And you must not know that that is the label that the world has placed on you. And much like Morgan Freeman and Idris Elba, I'm rejecting the label. And that's not to say I'm rejecting my skin color or that I want to be white passing or that I want to adopt whiteness. It's to say that to be black doesn't mean much. Really doesn't say anything about you, except for these superficial things that people have made up and tried to convince others. And they've done a damn good job. Because how many times have you heard somebody say, I'm a member of the black community? or, you know, I share the black struggle, or black is beautiful, or black is powerful, or black magic, and all these different things. What does that even mean? Because there's a whole lot of different people who fall under the umbrella of being black, and some of them are not the best. Some of them are not giving black magic, or black is beautiful, and the label should be rejected. So I was just always happy to see this. I've always known Morgan Freeman was based, at least on this subject. So
yeah, he's always been based, and I love the fact that he's calling out the fact that this is a patronizing sort of month to celebrate his cultural history or his history at large or his skin color. It's just a patronizing sort of approach to anything, and as are any of these months, honestly.
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're not that single factor or immutable characteristic. That doesn't define you as a person, as a whole, as a character. And I just love the fact that he continues to call this out, and especially during these tumultuous times.
Right. And we're going to talk about this phrase, African, later on in the week, because I'm going to do a video on the recent UFC drama that's been happening between like Dricus du Plessis and I think Israel Adesanya and a couple other fighters, Kamaru Usman, where they're talking about this term African and who gets to identify as African. And Dricus du Plessis is from South Africa, and he's talking about, you know, I'm African. What are you guys talking about identifying as African or saying, you know, you're the first African fighter to do this and that? He's like, And Dricus du Plessis is white, for those of you who don't know. And the others are brown people. They're black and brown. So he's saying, I'm African. I grew up in South Africa. The belt that I win is going back to South Africa. And it's the only belt that's ever going to be in the African country. So how are you saying that I'm not African and you are? So we're going to break that down later on in the week. I'm not going to give you my full take on all of that drama going back and forth. But it's just interesting to see the titles that people place on themselves. And I'd say right now, it's advantageous to have the title of African American. It's never been a better time because you just have excuses laid out for you and you can basically do whatever you want by having the title African American. So there might be a reason that people want to label themselves as such or feel this deep need to be super connected to their African roots or their African ancestry. We'll break that down on Thursday. Now, I saw one of you super chatted this and asked if I was going to talk about this. We're going to talk about it. It's the teen takeover that occurred in Chicago. First, I'll let the news tell you what happened.
Shootings ringing out across the nation this weekend in Chicago. Scenes of chaos coming into our newsroom. What's being called a teen takeover. Hundreds of teens taking to the streets. They were jumping on cars, smashing windows, damaging property, and climbing up buildings. Tourists running from the sound of gunfire. Officers struggling to get this under control. Two teens shot in all of this, but they are expected to survive. Well, chaos breaking out in downtown Chicago on Saturday
night. Just look at all of them.
Young people crowded
What is going on? I don't know what would happen to me if I was involved in something like this. What my parents, my grandparents would do if I was out in the street doing something like this. Not good. The consequences, I would not, no.
Yeah, no, this would be a tough day in my household if I were to go back after joining in on this chaos.
Which makes me think that maybe these teenagers don't have that same thing going on, and they're not going to have somebody to hold them accountable, so they can just essentially do whatever they want. And the lawlessness that is occurring in some of our major cities is just, it just blows my mind. And to watch it be with teenagers, because normally when you see something like this, okay, yeah, maybe spring break, you see this with like college kids who are on the precipice of being adults. I don't even know if I want to call them adults anymore, even though we're basically the same age. That's when you see stuff like that. Like growing up in Florida, every year in Miami, the streets were going crazy. I mean, there was brawls and, you know, women twerking on ambulances and stuff, like just crazy, crazy stuff. But to see a bunch of teenagers just going out and doing this is wild.
Yeah, this is pretty mind-boggling to me, seeing this. It's a different sort of chaos, and it seems a little more destructive than, say, you know, the spring breakers. You know, you know what they're going to be doing, but here it just seems kind of untethered, and who knows where the crowd and mob is going to go and what they're going to do.
Right, and they're vandalizing stuff. They're jumping on people's cars. I imagine they're looting and stealing. And it's honestly become socially acceptable. I think they said only 15 people were arrested during this entire encounter. But there's hundreds of people in the streets. Obviously, not all of them are breaking the laws. But only 15 people arrested during this. What has happened that we are so lax on the committing of crimes? And what happens, especially when you have young kids doing it and young teenagers, is again, you're just reinforcing the idea that this is the way to go about life and you're never going to get in trouble and there's never going to be any repercussions for this. So if they're doing this at 15, 16, 17, imagine what happens at 19, 20, when the repercussions truly settle in and you're going to be tried as an adult for these types of things, if they're tried at all, you know, which I doubt with how these cities are running and how soft they are becoming on crime. You know, these DAs in these major cities are saying, you know, this is about reparations and justice, and we don't want poor people, you know, just sitting in jail. We don't want the jails to be disproportionately filled with people of color. But I'm sorry, if a person of color is choosing to repeatedly break the law, you arrest them and you get them off the street and you do what needs to be done so that it doesn't happen anymore. And that's not what's happening. You don't get just an excuse to do whatever it is you want just because of your skin color or your class. Nothing matters when you are going out and you are committing crimes and potentially harming other people. You had two teenagers shot in Chicago due to what was happening in their downtown. Two teenagers shot. So would you rather feel good about the fact that you're not putting people in jail when they're supposed to be in jail and that you somehow feel like you're repairing social injustice of the past? Or would you rather two teenagers not be shot? I'd rather the latter. So whatever needs to be done so that kids aren't getting shot in the street, I would prefer that. Now, I want to show a video. These were protesters gathering in Baltimore, and I don't know how effective this form of parenting is, but this is what I would have liked to see to some of these teenagers who were gathering in Chicago.
Captivated by a Baltimore mother reading the riot act to her 16-year-old son. To remove him from the riot. We now know her name is Toya Graham, and she's a single mom of five girls and a boy. Captivated.
I mean, my heart goes out to her. Five girls and a boy, and you're a single mother, and this is what you have to deal with, and you have to go out to some protest, presumably because you saw your kid on the news, like, who knows? And then you got to come rip this kid out of a situation, and good on him. He needed to be embarrassed. He really needed to be embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do feel for this mom as well, because she's having to play both mother and father in this moment. And, you know, props to her for doing what she did. Yeah, of course, you know, it might not be the approach that we would all take,
right.
But in the moment, there's such emotion. She's seeing her baby boy doing something absurd, which she knows will put him in jeopardy and his future in jeopardy. And she, like, this is great.
Yeah.
To see that a mother is actually taking action.
Right. Like, she's actually going to go out there and get her son from the street, because that seems to be the issue with all these teenagers running around in Chicago. Like, where are the parents? Why are they not? I can't stress enough. If I was ever doing any sort of activity like this, you know how much trouble I would have been in as a teenager. Oh, man, lights out for me. I mean, I wasn't physically abused. That's not what I mean. But lights out as far as the amount of punishment I would get for having done something like that. I would be read the riot act. And that's what you need, is you need parents running out there, grabbing their kids and saying, what the hell do you think you're doing? What the hell do you think you're doing? You're 16. You think you're grown. You think you can go out and do all this stuff and you're not going to get in trouble for it. And she's, in fact, saving him. Might not feel like it for him in that moment, of course, because it never feels like it when you're being reprimanded by a parent, especially when you're a child. But she is saving him from a bunch of stuff that can happen. You know, these protests go crazy all the time. And he's out there fully masked up for what? What are you doing with the mask on? Trying to be intimidated. Trying to be intimidating and trying to feel like you are bigger than you actually are. You are a 16-year-old boy. Go home. Go home. And sometimes you need to be embarrassed on national news for that to set in. Now, I hope it doesn't have the opposite effect and he becomes more rebellious, but you just never know. But good on her for being a single mother of five when you already know she has enough to deal with. But that, I just have a feeling watching these kids in the streets of Chicago, I bet a lot of them are just coming home to single moms. And that's not to bash single moms and say that they aren't doing a good enough job. It's just to say, how much can you do when you are one person taking the place of two parents? That's got to be difficult. And things are going to slip through the cracks. And it's going to be things like this sort of behavior. So who knows? I mean, we have more stories of just crime and lawlessness. Here's a video out of a Nike store where tons of products are being stolen. And this is here in California, my current and Scott's current home state. Mm.
Thanks for shopping.
Just walking right out. Nothing. Well, I don't know. Like, it would make no sense to be a security guard in today's day and age.
No,
it would just make no sense.
I'm pretty sure the guy just said thanks for shopping.
Yep.
Like,
because what else are you gonna do? Yeah. What? Okay, so let's say you take on the role and you're like, you know what? I want to stop this stuff that's happening right now. I'm gonna be a security guard. You catch all these people who are shoplifting. They never get in trouble. They never go to jail. Nothing ever happens to them. If they are arrested, they're back on the street the next day. They're back at your store. And now you have somebody with a vendetta against you for getting them arrested for one day. That's essentially what's happening in California, Chicago, New York. And why not become a career criminal at that point? If you do not have a strong sense of morality and a deep connection to your community and your effect on other people within your community, then why not be a shoplifter? Why not steal everything that you want and need? I don't see why you wouldn't. Now, here is yet another video. This is also here in California, in Compton, of a bunch of just miscreants breaking into a gas station. A gas station. You know these people aren't making that much money. This guy's working in the middle of the night to just give people in the community what they need. Let them get their gas. Let them get, I don't know, a pack of cigarettes and some Starburst. And you feel the need to run up on them, break into their store. And not just a couple people. In mass, they're doing this. Let's look.
A mob swarms the Arco gas station on Alondra and Central in Compton after someone smashes through the glass door. Then it's just a free-for-all. This happened around 2:30 in the morning. You see some looters with their faces covered, others not even bothering concealing their identity as they ransack the store. They grab everything from booze to condoms, what some would call the essentials. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department says thousands of dollars worth of merchandise was taken. Then, of course, there's the damage left behind. Deputies say the mob was part of a crowd of people who gathered for a street takeover.
Dude, it's crazy.
Now, this sight has become far too common in Los Angeles. This was one of at least three street takeovers overnight. Two others happened on Long Beach and Rosecrans. Vehicles turn and screech through intersections, spinning dangerously close to cheering crowds. Investigators say shots were fired about a block away from where the looting took place, but nobody was injured. Of course, investigators are now trying to identify the suspect seen in those videos posted on social media.
These are grown adults. Grown adults. Just in large groups going in and just robbing people blind. Imagine being the gas station attendant at this gas station. I don't know if this person owned the gas station or if they were just an employee there. And you have 100 people coming into your store to rob you. Do you know the amount of fear you would feel? I would not be coming to work the next day.
Yeah, I believe it was the owner and they barricaded themselves within the bathroom because they had no idea what was going to happen to them.
As you can imagine, I would be like, oh, this is it. Done. Yeah. Life's over. Life's over today. I'm going to die today. Over what? What'd they say? I'm stealing cigarettes and condoms.
The essentials.
The essentials, some might say. It's just wild. And then you go out in the street and you're running your cars all around. It's like little kids. It's like if you allowed little kids to run the world for a day, this is what they would do. But they're grown adults. And y'all know I have friends who are in LAPD, and this is what they're dealing with. Like, how would you not feel demoralized that you're getting calls of, yeah, you know, someone's doing donuts again in the street, and they just hit somebody, or their car set on fire, or 100 people just looted one gas station and we need you to round up as many people as possible. And then they go and do it. And again, they book these people, which is not a quick and efficient process. It takes a while, hours, if not a whole night to do this. And then they're out the next day. And there's zero bail, no nothing. They're just out the next day to do it all over again. So you can arrest the same person the next day for the same crime. I would give up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as though I'm like necessarily worried about the taxpayer at this point. I just have the office joke running in my mind right now of Michael yelling at Toby. But anyway, it's just like the amount of time wasted. Like they have to go and subdue this chaotic event or something along these lines. But when they do, their work and their time that they spent, you know, securing that area is now all gone the next day. Like you said, when people are just out on the street and they do it again and again and again. And it's just like, okay, that's giving, you know, carte blanche to anybody else who wants to go and actually commit another crime or something along those lines. And the cops are tied up having to deal with this stuff. But I mean, I have no words.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you guys, in my experience in doing ride-alongs, they are crazy and they are scary and terrifying. Now, obviously, I'm like, you know, got my female disposition, so maybe I'm a little bit more scared than most people are, but it was terrifying. I mean, one of the ride-alongs that I went on, which really put into perspective just what it's like to be a cop, at least in LAPD and especially in Southeast, where it's just constant calls, constant things you have to deal with. We showed up to a call that was outside a convenience store where a drunk guy and some other guy, they'd gotten into a physical fight and there was other people at this convenience store and they're all watching this happen. They all have their own view. The guy's wife is here. The other guy's girlfriend is here. And you as a cop have to pull up. You get out of the car, right? And you have your partner and you get out and it's just 20 people rushing at you, all trying to tell you what's happening. All trying to tell you their side of the story. He started it, no, he's intoxicated. You got 20 people. You don't know who's armed. You don't know who was in the altercation. You see a guy over here who's bleeding. You go and try to attend to him. And all of these people could, you know, commit harm against you at any given moment. And you, a lone person, have to step into this situation and figure out what's happening. Now, multiply that by 5 to where, you know, now it's 100 people. And multiply the amount of criminals by 5 to now where all of them are like looting a store and they're all stealing stuff. And then you have a gas station attendant who's locked up in the bathroom and all these people are running. They're doing donuts in the streets. They're shooting off guns. How are you meant to manage as a police officer and get into this situation, figure out what's going on, hold people accountable, arrest all the people who need to be arrested in a situation like this? You simply can't.
No.
You just can't.
No, you can't. And it's weird because this, I don't know if you're familiar with this video game called Grand Theft Auto, but it's very similar to that. It's like as though people are wanting to experience this life because they know at the end of the day they'll get that 5 stars in the police or whatever because they're doing this stuff, get locked up, and then next day they have a new life. You know, they respawn and get to do it all over again or something along those lines.
And they get street cred for it. They really do. Yeah. It's something that's like honorable. They go and like, oh my gosh, you got arrested, and that's another hit for you, and wow, that's an amazing thing that you did. And they're so overwhelmed that they can't even respond to instances of truly violent crime. One of the last ride-alongs I went on, there was a man running around brandishing a firearm, threatening people with it. So you have what? At that point, you need multiple squad cars to go and show up at a situation. They have to build a perimeter. You have a helicopter in the air trying to pin a light on this guy who's running around with a firearm and could possibly kill somebody. As they're going to set up this perimeter, another guy rolls by the cop car with his window down and he's honking his horn. The cop that I'm with stops, rolls his window down. Hey, what's up, man? The guy's like, somebody is literally robbing my house right now. I drove up to my house. This guy broke in through my window. He's inside my house. And this is a big dude. It was like this big Hispanic guy. He's tatted all over, whatever. And he's like saying, yo, this guy's breaking into my house. And he's like, can you guys follow me to my house and handle somebody who's literally vandalized my property and is inside looting my stuff before I handle it myself? Because he's a big dude. He's like, I'll go handle it myself if you're not going to handle it. And we literally have to look and go, sorry, can't. We've got a guy with a gun right now who's going to kill people. That takes priority over somebody who's in your house right now. So you're going to have to deal with that. And they don't get to that guy's call for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. So you essentially are just allowing criminals to do whatever it is they want at any given moment, and they'll get away with it for the most part. So now it's not even, oh, I'm going to get arrested and get out the next day. It's, I'm not even going to get arrested. Nobody's going to do anything. Because what is the reason to do anything? And if you want evidence of this, this is wild. I read this headline and I was like, there is no way this is real. It says a tiny number of shoplifters commit thousands of New York City thefts. Nearly a third of all shoplifting arrests in the city last year involved just 327 people.
Whoa.
Isn't that wild?
Whoa.
327 people. And when you break these numbers down and get to the bottom of how many arrests this consist of, or how many acts of shoplifting this consist of, 6,000. 327 people were responsible for 6,000 arrests in New York City. Do you need any more evidence to tell you that these major metropolitan areas are just breeding career criminals with their policy? Why are 327 people capable of committing this many acts of shoplifting? And probably other stuff too. Probably smash and grabs. Probably vandalism, which is essentially a smash and grab. Other acts of brutality against the people who they are robbing. Not to mention the emotional distress that they are putting these people who are owning their businesses through.
Yeah, yeah. And these are just the things that they were caught doing.
Yep.
So that's also something to think about.
Yep. 327 people responsible. Oh my gosh. Arrested and rearrested more than 6,000 times. I cannot stop saying that because it just blows my mind how insane that is. So you're a police officer and you're just running into the same guy time after time after time after time. At some point I would be like, yo, dude, I'm not going to bother. Just put the stuff back and go home. Because yeah. What is the point? Why are you going to give yourself more work to arrest somebody and put them through the system and they're going to be out the next day? Oh, goodness. Can y'all tell I'm passionate about this? Because I just don't know what else to say about it. We're going to have more stories like this. I saw a video the other day, and I don't know if I already said this on the show, but of a mother, maybe a sister or her friend or whatever, and a young little girl, and this was happened to be a black family, inside a Walmart, and the caption was, "We're eating at Walmart for free." And they just went inside the Walmart, picked the food that they wanted to eat, and just ate it in the Walmart, just out in the open in the aisles, and then walked out. And you could do that anywhere now, really. I mean, unless you're in like a small town where people actually care, actually care about your community and what's happening. But other than that, you know, it makes people who are willing to follow the rules feel like, why do I follow the rules anymore? When so-and-so can just walk into Walmart, eat whatever they want, and then walk out. Or you can go into the Nike store and steal, you know, $2,000 worth of clothing.
Yeah. And
black-pilled.
You've harped on this before, and that you mm-hmm. hate the word community and the fact that there's even a thing considered community.
Right.
And honestly, these actions are what deteriorate a community. They mm-hmm. they make it crumble ultimately. Yeah. And you know, and likely these people are also the ones who are promoting, oh, I'm of this community, of this neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, dude, you're literally, you know, putting forth these ideas and these actions that will bring about the ruin of your community.
Yeah, and you think about this stuff like the story that, like, 50% of the Walmarts in Chicago are leaving and they're getting rid of those stores and, you know, people are shoplifting from them. Walgreens and CVS and Starbucks are leaving some of the major metropolitan areas, you know, Portland and San Francisco. And those are the big businesses. Those are the major franchises. So if you have these billion-dollar corporations who are leaving, think about your little mom-and-pop shops. Think about the mother, you know, the single mothers that save up all their life to start their own business and they finally have their little storefront and that gets looted. And that gets stolen from. There, the smash and grab happens there. It's burglarized. They're, you know, assaulted, whatever. If the Walmarts and the Walgreens and the CVSs and the Starbucks are leaving, imagine how many small businesses and lives are being ruined by this sort of activity. It just reminds me back to the 2020 riots in the name of George Floyd. All these people screaming because they care about black lives. You know how many black businesses were ruined at that time? You know how many black lives were taken by those riots? Upwards of 20. 20 were taken during those riots. But you're doing this because you care because you're trying to help black people. You're lessening the restrictions and the punishments for these crimes because you care about black people. If you cared about black people, these people would not be on the streets terrorizing them, you know, looting their gas stations and doing donuts in their parking lots. Oh, gosh, I sound like I'm old or something. I feel like I sound like I'm 80 years old.
Yeah, you sound like me, a yeah, millennial.
Right. We need to throw the book at these people. Oh, my gosh. We need to get tough on crime. We need law and order. It's true. It's true. We need it. Now, last story here before we get to Super Chats. I thought this was interesting. Matt Walsh had tweeted out a number of things in regard to his kids. We'll read the tweets first, and then we'll read somebody's take on them. Matt Walsh said, I'm tired of hearing excuses from parents. I have six kids, two sets of twins. If we can raise our kids without giving them phones or internet access or letting them sit around all day playing video games, so can you. It is possible. Don't tell me it isn't. I'm doing it right now. And then he says, my kids know that I will often forbid them from watching shows for no other reason than I find it to be stupid and weird. I'm not going to let them sit there and ingest content that's just because it keeps them distracted. There needs to be some value in it or they can't watch it. Then he says, my children's schoolmates are their siblings. And then lastly, he said, well, my kids don't have phones. And the only way to access the internet in my home is through my phone or my wife's phone or my laptop. And my kids have access to none of those. So yes, I can and do control it because I'm a responsible parent. And that's what responsible parents do. Now, what do you guys think about these comments? At any point, did you think Matt Walsh is abusing his child after reading this? I didn't.
No.
Didn't quite cross my mind.
No.
It felt to me like he's doing a service to his children that in the long run they will respect.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, this is coming from my life and my experience, but I also grew up not having internet or phones, not just because of the time, but because my parents chose not to have that in the household.
And right.
If we needed to go get information, we would go to the library. We would go, to a computer, a public computer or something along those lines to get that information and do our projects and all that. It's not impossible to live in this world without it. It's becoming increasingly more difficult, but not impossible.
Right. And, you know, I'm always thinking, like, the internet's relatively new. I think people are forgetting that the internet is relatively new. And for little kids, having access to internet is a new phenomenon as well. I did not have the internet as a child. Of course, I watched TV here and there. I loved Mr. Rogers and Nickelodeon and Disney Channel and all that stuff. But I was not running around with a smartphone. Now, a leftist called out Matt Walsh, compiled these tweets, and said Matt Walsh proudly proclaiming that he pulls out all the stops to make sure his kids have zero access to the outside world, no regular interaction with other children, and no way to research anything for themselves is so on brand for him. These kids are being abused, y'all. What?
I mean,
oh my gosh. He says there's absolutely no way his children are going to be well-adjusted when they move out. Provided he actually moves them out, they're going to find themselves overloaded, unable to function or navigate the world, and completely dependent on him, which is probably the point. It's just so weird. Like, imagine recognizing that the internet is full of, like, really horrible content that leads to things like depression, anxiety, suicidality, eating disorders for young women in particular, and then going, you know what? Maybe my young children, which I believe all of Matt Walsh's children are super young, my young children shouldn't have access to this thing. And if they're going to watch videos and shows, I want them to be helpful videos and shows. We'll show them the Mr. Rogers of kid shows and maybe not the trans Blues Clues parade pride episode. Maybe we won't show them that. And then being told that you're abusing your children.
Yeah, absurd. It's also the audacity of these people who are making these comments on Twitter or tweeting about it. It's just like, you're also assuming that you know his children's ages.
Right.
And it's like, okay, he may open up to giving them access to these, to the internet, to different forms of content and media later on, but that's only after he helps them develop as young children and help form their minds so that they can, you know, make informed decisions themselves and find the truth through those through the muck of the internet. Like, the audacity to assume you know exactly what's going on in his household.
Yeah, I mean, just to say that this equates to not giving them access to the outside world, as if the internet, you know, the internet is new, as I said before. You have books. Y'all can read books. That's access to the outside world. you can, you know what you can really do that's like way cooler than the internet and gives you access to the outside world? You can go into the outside world.
Yeah.
You can you can live in it. Yeah. You know, you can go out into civilization and talk to other people, and it doesn't have to happen through a screen or some sort of cartoon character that is frying your brain talking to you. You can actually live in the outside world.
Yeah, and I would put money on the fact that Mr. Walsh has, you know, books upon books within his home, dictionaries, right, encyclopedias through the roof. So it's not as though his children are just being, you know, uneducated at the utmost degree. Like, they have access to information.
Of course. And he says, if you're going to watch content, I just want it to have value. Isn't that what every parent wants for their child? Isn't that what you should ask for? But of course, if you're a conservative and you say something like this, it gets twisted and spun to make it look like you're abusing your children and that they're not getting access to the outside world and you want them to live with you forever for some sort of reason, which is the exact opposite of what conservatives want, I think, for the most part. I think they want their children to go out and be fruitful and you know, take on the world and do something great for themselves and have the wherewithal and the critical thinking skills to do that. And, you know, the internet is not your golden ticket. What this shows me is it's amazing how quickly things can be adopted. Now everybody views the internet as something that's just always been and will always be, and that just because we have it means it's healthy. And that's not true. Now, of course, it's good to give your kids access to other information and allow them to explore a little bit, of course, within reason, but that doesn't always require the internet. In fact, there's hundreds of healthier ways to do that than give them a smartphone and say, you know, run wild on it.
Yeah.
Just delusional. Just delusional. It's so crazy. Are we going to start calling this child abuse? You know, if your kids don't have a smartphone, that's child abuse. Now, this is one person saying it, but it did get nearly 4,000 likes. Nearly 4,000 people read this and went, yeah, that's abuse.
And I'm seeing 1.3 million views as well, just on Twitter, on the platform.
Yeah.
So, jeez.
Just a lot of airtime. My kids are not getting smartphones. Absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah. My baby girl is not getting a smartphone for quite some time.
Right.
And there's also something to be said. Like, you can incentivize your children if they want to, you know, have things like this after you'd help develop their mind in the early stages. There's something to be said for incentivizing it in, like, hey, you can go get a job and I'm more than willing to let you have a cell phone so long as you pay for it. Figure out how to responsibly take care of the object and also the income to bring about the service that you want. You know, like, you can incentivize it in a certain way that will also help build character. So,
right.
I don't know, maybe that's his plan, but you don't know that. You're making an assumption.
You are making an assumption. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, you know, that a lot of the people that agree with this are raising the next generation of iPad children. And it's not going to be helpful. It's not going to be helpful at all. The amount of kids that I see, like, running around trying to do normal kid things, and then the parents getting overwhelmed and being like, iPad, here's an iPad, here's an iPhone, just please look at the iPhone, because I don't want you doing normal kid things. And I don't want you to be interacting with the world in a way that kids do, because it's too loud, it's too rambunctious. Or, like, I don't want to have to keep up and watch you as you are trying to explore this new world that you're in right now. Here's an iPhone, so that I know where you are at all times, even though your brain is being fried. Those are the parents who are going to be like, it is abuse for you to not give your kids an iPhone. It is abuse for you to not let them be on the internet, because they want to justify their own actions in relation to their kids.
Exactly. When they say it's going to be abuse, it's abuse to them, because it hurts their feeling and their feelings and their time and their attention span, because they actually have to watch their child and interact with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're really saying when they say it's abuse.
I'm sorry. I mean, that might be a hot take.
Yeah,
I don't know how many iPad parents there are out there, but it's not. I see it and I'm like, disgraceful. I'm not gonna lie, disgraceful. Like, when I see kids at, like, Chili's or something and their parents are like, here's an iPad, instead of, like, having conversation or, like, even just, like, playing a game at the table or, like, trying to engage or whatever, I just cannot imagine how that is going to settle in these kids' brains. I just don't think it's gonna work out. I need to sneeze.
Let loose.
You know, I've been having to sneeze this entire show, and I managed to keep it at bay.
Pretty good.
We just got one in there. We are going to move to Super Chats start reading those.
Awesome. Let them loose. Let them loose.
You know, I'm a repeat sneezer, guys. I don't know if you guys are as well, but I don't ever sneeze just once. Okay, Let's see what we got. Sup, my dude, says, unfortunately, Amla, a lot of wokeites can't stand up for truth as they are bound to motorized scooters due to chronic and severe morbid obesity.
Bless you.
That's how I feel about that. I get what you're saying there. That would be an ableist statement, by the way. So I would immediately retract that if I were you.
Bless you.
Here we go. And it begins. It's like breaking the seal. I shouldn't have allowed the first one to go. Jared's Journey says, my second live chat, saying hi from the 305. Thank you so much, Jared. We appreciate it. Hey. Elizabeth Royce, thank you for your super chat. No message. Diva Dawn says, I watched both Dr. Phil episodes. Where was Taylor during the first episode? Oh, yeah, the green room. Sorry, Taylor. I couldn't resist. Yeah. Taylor was sitting eating his bagel, waiting patiently for somebody to come and bring him out into the audience, and it just never happened. It's hilarious. Betsida Flores says, hi, Amala. Have you heard of the riot of teenagers in Millennial Park in Chicago? Scary times for sure. Mm. Yeah, we heard of it. We had to cover that today. Just insane. Shannon M., thank you for a very large super chat. We appreciate that. Late on the congrats, I loved hearing your thought about being a midwife on one of the casts. Oh, yeah. Mm. That was, if I had not chosen this route in my life of doing whatever it is that I do now. I don't even know what we want to classify it as. But I would have been midwife. That would have been the second option for me. And very well might be. Who knows? Who knows? RushFan1974 Dave says, can anyone honestly say mental health in America is better than 20 years ago? Over medication and ideological capture, we need to reassess and correct. My nose is running. No, I don't think anybody can say that mental health is better than it was 20 years ago, because we are certainly in an over-medicated society. I need some medication right now. maybe a Claritin or a Zyrtec. Ben Clark, thank you for your super chat. Says, hi, Amala. First time actually making it to a live due to being in Australia. Hi. I love your work and so glad I found your work. Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel of the transgender madness? It's a packed issue. I see a light in that there's no way that this sustains itself. And I think at one point people are going to wake up. I just hope it's sooner rather than later. I do, because there's people waking up. There's detransitioners talking about what's happening. There's scientists talking about what's happening and, trying to bring an audience towards what they're saying and calling this stuff out. So I hope it happens. I'm always an optimist. Even though Dennis says there's no point in being an optimist, I'm an optimist. And Dennis is, a tough old man. So Say What Now says, Amala got that Black Panther drip going. Oh, y'all like the fit today? I saw a lot of you like the jacket. I saw that in the comments. I greatly appreciate it. This is my cute little, it's probably like a $10 jacket. I don't spend a lot of money on clothes, y'all. Griffo33 says, how can I further support the channel? I'm Afro-Latina and a fellow service member. I love Amala and her content. God bless her. And I pray for her and her supporters. Thank you so much. I mean, all your support is in just watching and, subscribing and sharing with other people, because we want as many people to see this message as possible. So you're giving all the support that we need. And I greatly appreciate your super chat. That is amazing. Let's see. Kratos Raptor 85 says, Morgan Freeman is God. You can't tell God no. You know what? I feel like, outside of, being blasphemous for the Christians watching, I think a lot of people view Morgan Freeman in this sort of like fatherly, omniscient being for some reason. I don't know if it's just the energy that he gives off of just, and his look and his voice. People view Morgan Freeman as a father figure. So when he says something, it's like, oof, Morgan Freeman just said that. So that's an interesting super chat.
Yeah, I can only imagine that it's solidified because he played God in Bruce Almighty as well, which was a big, movie back
Bruce Almighty, who was the star in that movie?
Why am I blanking on his name? Carrey. Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. Yeah. I feel like I watched that a while ago, but I just don't remember the plot at all. I'll have to circle back to that movie. I will have to circle back. Flynn Vassen says, what would happen if you take the red, blue, and gray pill? would that make you a moderate member of society? Gray equals the thinking pill. If you took all of them, yeah, I mean, I think it'd make you a critical thinker. You'd be able to evaluate situations from all angles and hopefully just figure out where the truth lies, or at least the closest thing to it. Let's see. AZ says, every time somebody asks me what I am, I say human. That is the most truthful, logical answer. I think we should all just go about doing that. We are just humans. No need for black and, I don't know, gray and pink and purple, all that other stuff. We're just humans. Flynn Vassen says, thoughts on the Walmart shutdown in Chicago? We just keep hitting the stories. Yeah. You guys have a pulse on what this show is going to be talking about. I gave you my thoughts on the Walmart shutdowns in Chicago. So we got there. Say What Now says, that's good mamahood right there. Yes, it is. And I do saw somebody super chat comment that video is old, and I believe from 2015. You know, my point still stands.
Yeah.
Where are those mamas in 2023? Because that's what I want to see. And Flynn says, the mother did good for her son. Yes, she did. The autistic professor says, I don't understand why teens and young adults commit violence, ask silly questions to conservative speakers. Y'all's faces are perpetually on the internet. Would love to see a dive into faith, have/don't have, and how it interacts with politics. Yeah. Whenever I watch these videos of like people being confrontational at conservative speeches, I'm thinking, have y'all not learned your lesson yet? Like, don't you know that this person has a rebuttal to you and that you're not going to make it through this moment? You're really not. You're not going to make it through the moment on top. You'll make it through the moment, of course. We're not going to like take your life or anything. But you're not going to make it out on top of this argument, because we quite literally live and breathe your arguments. There's no gotcha question when it comes to these things, but they show up every single time, which is fine because it gives us content, I guess. Let's see. See, demons are calling. Thank you so much for your super chat. Just says, keep it up. We appreciate you. Stevie Capone says that Baltimore riot was the Freddie Gray riots in 2015. The last I heard, the mom's son is doing well for himself now, which is good. That's wonderful news.
Great to hear.
It is. It's probably because he's got a strong mama. Yeah, that probably helped. Anita Card said, as a Gen X 47 mom with young kids, you give me hope for their future. You are keeping reality in the spotlight. You are an articulate, intelligent, beautiful young lady, and I hope I can raise my kids to be just like you. Love you. Thank you so much. Whenever I hear stuff like that, just like, oh, my heart. You want your kids to be just like me. That's so overwhelming. Thank you so much, and thank you for supporting the channel. RJ Builds PCs. No message, just sends a super chat. Thank you. Guys, I'm screenshotting. I'm trying to keep up with all of the ones that you're sending. Okay, let's see. Say What Now just sends a $5 super chat. Doesn't say anything there. Rosa Maria, we appreciate both of y'all, says number one. Thank you so much. And Jared's Journey, thank you for your super chat. No message. I'll be damn, says, dang, Amala. Leftist you would love where you currently are. Being a front woman with a white man working for you, LOL. I don't know. Wouldn't my leftist self appreciate the fact? I don't know that. And I'd like to say, Scott works with me, guys, not for me. But that is a very good joke. Yeah, Scott and Taylor both working alongside on our projects here. Maybe my leftist self would be proud. Maybe that's a W in her eyes. Nicola Rose says, Asians are from Asia, Africans are from Africa, Americans are from America, Jamaicans are from Jamaica. Where is black from, and what is black? Hell if I know. But we've all decided to take the label now, haven't we? I would not be able to tell you, and it just does not make sense in any way, shape, or form. Really doesn't. Greenville Schwartz doesn't send a message, but says, but it is their first super chat. Thank you so much for your super chat. Then we have one from Ram Tiger Falcon, who says, hey, Miss Lady and Entourage, make sure you get your daily dose of sunshine. Beat the cold's ass. Question, do you get to keep the super chat money? I hope that discussion between you and Brett Cooper happens. I still haven't reached out to Brett, but hopefully we'll make it happen. As far as the super chat money, it does go towards the content that is made here at PragerU at large for the most part. So, of course, our show does see the proceeds, and we get to work with some of it to you know, expand and get you guys a better viewing experience, but it goes to PragerU and the nonprofit at large. I'll be damn. Oh, I read that one and I read that one. Sophia Senev says, how crazy is the time we're living in where celebrities make millions for nothing while we can't give our cops and teachers a salary that would make people actually want to do these important jobs? Eek. Girl, you're right. I think about that a lot. I think there needs to be more incentive towards these jobs because, I mean, the less you pay to police officers and the less you incentivize the job itself, the lower quality people you get in those positions as well. Because who's going to take on a position where they're not being paid that much money and they're not getting, you know, enough training, although cops do get a lot of training. It's going to be people who are power hungry and just want to utilize that position. So you're in a very weird spot. Dahlia says, from Toronto, love from Toronto, thank you. You always have a way of expressing what everyone's thinking in such an eloquent and unapologetic way. So glad that I stumbled here. Thank you so much. That is so very sweet. We try to talk sense as best we can on this show. Flynn Vassen says, I didn't get a phone until I was 13 or 14 years old, and it was a flip phone. I had 1 hour that I was allowed to play video games, and that was... And it was always at the end of the day. I agree with Walsh. Yeah. I had one of those like slide phones that would like slide to the side and you get your little keyboard and then you flip it and like slide
the,
it up.
The Sidekick?
Yeah, where it had double slides. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know the double slide, but like when I was in high school, the Sidekick was it, man. If you had one of those.
You were balling.
Yeah.
You were balling in high school if you had the Sidekick. You know, I thought mine was so cool because it had a double slide. So like you'd have your little rectangle, you'd slide up for the numbers and then you'd flip it horizontal and slide up for the letters. And I thought that was the coolest thing on earth, and that was my phone of choice. So yeah, and
then sounds of course, like a Rubik's cube or something.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work.
It was a dope phone. I honestly miss that phone. You know, I see people doing their dopamine detoxes and just like buying little flip phones or slide phones and using them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a video idea. It's hard to dopamine detox when this is my job, though. So we'll have to figure that out. But I would love to do a video on trying that because it's something I need to do. Robert Keifner, hope I said your last name right, just wanted to say hashtag Mexican Lives Matter, hello again from Florida. Now time to go riot in Orange Grove. I wouldn't recommend that.
No,
I wouldn't recommend rioting in Orange Grove, although I get what you mean. Oh goodness, honestly, just do whatever you want, guys. Maybe if enough of us push the boundaries, somebody will actually bring down the hammer of law and order.
Yeah.
I don't actually think that, but gosh. Text Fraud says, Amala in short, touch grass for real, for real. Yeah, for real, for real. You guys, we all need to do that. I have not done my my grass touch of the day, so maybe I'll do that upon going home, especially since I have this cold coming on. It would be good to be out in the fresh air and just hopefully alleviate that a little bit. This next one is from Flynn Vassens. He said, we watched movies as a family, and I basically didn't get to watch Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network unless we were on vacation. And do you miss it? Are you like, you know, I could see a sense of when I was a kid, Disney Channel original movies were such a big thing. Every week when the new Disney shows were going to come out with their new episode, I was glued to my TV screen. There's no lying about that. And then you'd go to school the next day and you'd be like, did you see High School Musical just came out and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, talking about like Troy and all and just like all the characters and everything. But there was like a sense of community around having watched these TV shows and stuff like that. And I get that. As a kid, you don't want to miss out on that experience when other kids are going through it and you're showing up to school and they're all talking about the same thing or they're all playing Roblox and they're all playing, you know, that Among Us game that all these kids were playing during COVID and stuff. I feel there's a sense of loss there. And you as a parent, you do have to sort of go, I promise I'm doing this for the better. I promise when you look back on this as an adult, you're not going to regret the time you spent going outside. You're not going to regret, like, you know, building that imaginary castle in the backyard and hanging out with your siblings. And you have to just keep driving that home and saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But when you're a kid, you just can't see that.
No, not at all. You can't see 10 feet in front of you, honestly,
right,
in terms of your future. So,
right. You're like, my friends are watching Mr. Beast. I want to watch Mr. Beast too. Like there's no other world that exists other than that. So it's hard. I can only imagine. Flynn Vasson says, hell, I'm only 20 and I would try to play with my children if I had any as much as I could. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird to like see parents and it's okay. I'm obviously not a parent, so I don't know what I'm going to be like, but I have a sense of what I'm going to be like. Right. And it's weird to like see parents where your kids are literally forming right in front of your eyes and they're just like, couldn't care less, could not care less. Here's an iPad, you know,
yeah,
play that, Roblox.
That blows my mind. And you're right. It does happen. And it's sad that it happens.
Yeah.
And I'm sad for the child. And, you know, to your point, like, yeah, I had an idea as to what I'd be as a father, but it is vastly different and so much better than I could have imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never sang as much as I have in my life than I have over the past few months.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. Meanwhile, other kids, like Scott's kid's core memory is going to be like dad singing, even if he's tone deaf or whatever.
Yeah, his
you know?
Horrible coffee breath in my face.
Right. Other kids' core memories is going to be like, look, oh, what are you doing? Are you playing a game?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look, what is he doing? That's going to be what kids remember. That's what they're going to see when they think back to their childhood. That's so crazy to me. Ugh. Anyways, next one. From Samantha Updegraff says, bless you, Amala. Your sneezes are adorable. Thank you. I appreciate that. A10 Warthog says, Amala sneezing made me sneeze and I scared my cat. I apologize. I don't mean to do that. I didn't know that sneezes were contagious like that. Yeah. You know, I know the old yawn is contagious, but sneezes. ZH, no message, but thank you for your super chat. Love Wildly, Live Fearlessly says the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, was being interviewed on the news about the riots and he played the victim card and was asked to condone rioting three separate times and he never did. Must watch clip. I'll have to look it up. I can imagine there was a lot of excuses thrown out. And Chicago has just not had a good run for leaders in recent times, in recent history. They really got to work on that. Stevie Capone says, I was recently attacked by a female friend on Facebook because I said Dylan is a trash for mocking women in his videos. Luckily, other biological women came to my defense, so I wasn't accused of mansplaining. Oh, well, that helps. Dylan is mansplaining womanhood, if that helps you in your arguments. You could try it, although it's probably going to land on deaf ears for that one. It's a really tough one. Ram Tiger Falcon says, so brown doesn't exist in the spectrum. Actually, the skin tone is a derivative of orange. Check it out. So maybe Trump is closer than he's made to be. Maybe Trump is closer to being, what do we call us now? African Americans? We don't call ourselves black. Whatever. Maybe he is closer than we once would have thought. I did not know it was actually a derivative of orange. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah.
I'm going to fact check you on that. Lady Maverick 823 says, I didn't get a smartphone until I was well into my 20s because I saw how it was going. Screens are addicting. Cue the Cocomelon phenomenon with kids. I should break down a whole video on Cocomelon. We've talked about it briefly on the show and how it's just deteriorating kids' minds, but it's wild. I saw a video of Coachella, which happened this past weekend. And I forget which artist was performing, but it was just a sea of iPhone screens. That's all it was. And instead of people looking up at the stage, just looking through their screen. Now, when I go to concerts, I will take like a 30-second video at the concert. And that'll be it. The rest is phone down watching the artist. Because and how many people live their lives through their screen, right? And they're watching these concerts, never go back to watch the videos. Never go back. And even if you do, it's nowhere near the visceral experience of actually watching something and seeing it for yourselves. It's so wild to me that everybody is in real life. The person that you've been following, whose art you've admired for so long, is standing right in front of you and you're doing this. You've been watching them this whole time on YouTube and through your screen. Anyways, why are you doing this when they're right in front of you?
Yeah, it makes no sense. Get the still frame photo and get out.
Yeah,
like, you know, and enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Yes. Just like take it in. And then it really blackpills me because I'm like, okay, the real experience is sitting there and watching something and really taking it in all of its essence and just truly like living through it and feeling it. How many people are going through half-baked experiences their entire life because they're living through a phone? I'm like, wow, nobody is truly experiencing the beauty of life because they're watching it in like pixels on their screen. It's so crazy. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's see. What else do we got here? Who's this from? Okay, our next one is from... Isla. No message, just sends a super chat, and it's her first super chat. Isla, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Keeper Pro says, I love your work. Were you ever run for politics? No. No. I mean, I can't predict the future. I don't know that I will never do it. Never is a strong word, but I have no interest whatsoever in doing it at the moment, I will say. I love my life the way it is. James Robinson said the Stephen King comment is not consistent with reality because men make the laws. Because men make the laws didn't skew divorce in their favor. Oh, gotcha. Okay, so you're saying, you know, men have made the majority of laws and divorce didn't go in their favor and family court didn't go in their favor and a lot of things don't go in their favor legally. So, you know, if men could get pregnant, that would probably not be the case for abortion. I get what you're saying. Stephen King tried. And he failed. And he was eaten alive by his own cabal of leftists. Jessica J says, what's your thought on abortion? I'm learning. Oh, I'm pro letting the women know all of the pros and cons before making the decision. I've been looking for info online and can't find anything non-biased. I mean, you're never going to get something non-biased on that subject, I'm going to be honest with you. I lean towards pro-life, although we've had really long conversations on this show about it. I'm very sympathetic to instances of forced pregnancy, which happen very seldom. We're talking about those instances of rape and incest and things like that. I'm very sympathetic to a woman being placed in that position and maybe not wanting to go through. But for the most part, I don't think that's the majority of abortions. And we're now at, what, like 60 plus million? So it's a rough issue. It's one that needs certainly more unpacking, I will say. Let's go to Shock Therapy. WIW says, you don't sound old, Amala. You just have common sense. I appreciate you. C-A-T-S. I don't know what C-A-T-S stands for.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I am old.
Well, is it like an old person acronym?
I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. But we appreciate it. I'm glad that you think I sound like I have common sense. I appreciate that greatly. Yeezy or Y-Z-E-E 14 says, do you know Carrie Smith? She's also a former leftist on YouTube. I do not. I will look her up and make a little note here. Carrie Smith. Okay, let's keep that there. Next is the autistic professor. Finally, I'm expressing my beliefs on some controversial issues to friends and family and work. Scary, but authenticity is power. Amala, you are inspiration. Thank you so much. Yeah, it is scary sometimes to like say how you truly feel about something, but once you do it, it's like, oh, what a weight lifted. I'm so glad I said it. And you know, the world didn't implode and nobody exploded because I said what I had to say. You should just move forward with truth when you can. You know, you don't have to do it all the time, but when you can, it's best.
It's also like a muscle, right? So you have to kind of work at it to get better at it and also formulate your belief and steel man it. You know, you have to speak those and have those conversations in order to like solidify it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right. So just keep going and then watch. Like it's never going to be as crazy as you think it's going to be. Or sometimes it is, but you can always deal with it. You'll find that you can always deal with it. Flynn Bassin says, we had a local news and stuff like ABC series. That's what you watched as a kid? That makes sense. I watched news as a kid, too. That was something that we constantly saw, too. Leslie, since stumbling into Unapologetic, my views have changed, but I'd say I prefer taking a more moderate approach from my liberal perspective before. Love that, girl. Go for it. We love moderates. I think most people are taking on moderate approaches. Shock Therapy says that CATS stands for Cam Amala Taylor Scott.
There we go.
Now
I'm
know.
Glad you went with CATS instead of like SCAT.
Yeah, that's a much better acronym. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for appropriately putting those in order. Maddie DeRuiter says, do you think the high mental health diagnoses for kids is due to technology? I love your content. Technology, big pharma, a lot of different things. It's weird because I would, you know, when I used to listen to the radio, which I don't really do anymore, turn it on and it'd be like, you'd get all these ads of like, Is your kid hyperactive? Can your kid not focus in school? Does your kid not know how to do anything for more than 5 minutes? Your kid might have ADHD. Come have them evaluated by a professional and we can get them on this medication. I'm like, what do you mean? Okay, not being able to focus, totally normal for a kid. Hyperactivity, totally normal for a kid. Not being able to do something for more than 5 minutes, totally normal for a kid. What do you mean they need to be evaluated for ADHD and put on medication? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Absolutely not. So I think that's part of it. Technology is sort of playing into depression, anxiety, body dysmorphia, all of these things. So that's going to lead to high diagnoses among young people in general. So yeah, I think it's a wicked mixture of a lot of different stuff in our society today. Flynn Vassen says mass hysteria, sneezing. I guess so. I guess I'm passing it on to other people. Gary says, I saw a woman playing Wheels on a bus from her phone instead of singing today while I walked to the gym. Heck yeah. Outsource. We always outsource our labor. Outsource our labor. ChatGPT is going to make it way easier. Well, you can have an AI robot sing to your kid. And I bet people will advocate for that. Shannon M says, would love to interview you. Best way to contact for that, if you go to press@prageru.com, that's the email, send an email to press@prageru.com. That's how you can get a hold of me. Flynn Vassen says, gotta love the super chat overhaul. Flynn is always responsible, guys. If you're gonna hear one name on this show, it's not even my name, it's Flynn's. From his abundance of super chats, which we greatly appreciate. We love it. Dimitri D, thank you for your super chat. It was your first one. We appreciate it. Jared's Journey says, I vote for Amala and her team. Bro can be her VP.
Hey.
There you go. Shout out to Scott. OG Steve says, I'm 40 and I didn't get a phone till I was in my 20s. And as a child, I actually went outside to play and to interact with other humans. LOL. Yeah, you guys remember like making mud pies?
Oh, yeah.
I remember I would like put dirt, water, and grass in a bowl. And just be like, Mom, I made soup. You want to taste it? And like, that was childhood.
Yeah.
You know?
No, me and my brother would throw rocks at each other. That was our childhood.
See, there you go. Yeah. And I bet you both have very thick skin now. Yeah, yeah, and that you're doing okay.
More agile than we would have been otherwise, you know?
Exactly. Got a bob and weave. yeah. I mean, there's so much fun to do as a kid and just to access that imagination to where you're just never bored no matter where you are or what you're doing. You could have handed me a cardboard box as a kid and that was a castle and I was going to be chilling. Now kids need like Cocomelon, which has like 50 different shots in 1 minute in order to keep their mind stimulated. Hannah Daly says, Jack White makes the crowd lock up their phone. Oh, is that an artist that makes the crowd turn off their phone? Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him, as they should. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's crazy to watch people just like having an organic moment, aren't we, guys? Doesn't this feel so organic? Cosmic 77 Universe says, howdy, lady, also from Australia, with so much happening on the planet. If you could change just one thing right now, what would you choose and why?
Ooh.
Ooh. One thing on the planet. Oh my gosh. This is really difficult to answer. I think I would just change the open-mindedness of other people and like have everybody approach things with a sense of just like skepticism and trying to understand their place in the world rather than like trying to control and manipulate and change people's minds and make them conform. Just like have everybody take a chill pill for a second and just try to learn about themselves and figure things out. If people could do that, we'd be much better off. Either that or snap my fingers and everybody has at least one person that loves them. I know it's like such a deep answer for a question, but like if you snapped your fingers and everybody had at least one person that loves them, I think so much of the problems that we're experiencing right now would just go away.
Yeah.
Thin air.
I hate to say it, throwing in the religion there, but it would be Taylor and I would say, well, Jesus is that person.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. That is a good one.
Yeah. So what would you change? Is that what you change?
Yeah. No, honestly, I've been trying to keep up with the super chat, so I didn't even think about it.
Well, if something comes to you,
yeah.
You let me know. Grace Bumpus says, hey, Amala, I'm a huge fan. I don't know how you are so good at public speaking. I was on the news recently because I won a jiu-jitsu competition. That's badass. Grace, can you give me lessons? I've been talking about doing jiu-jitsu with my boyfriend for a while. That'd be dope. and I have such a hard time speaking on camera. Trust me, this does not come naturally. I mean, it's like a, it's, again, it's just practice, practice, practice. And you have to keep doing it over and over and over again. There was some, when I first started doing this, I was shaking like a leaf on camera and like nervous. It would give me stomach aches. I would be worrying about things every single day. I still worry about things every single day, but I'm not as nervous anymore. Like now you can turn on a camera and say go and I can go. But when I'm on the news, I still get nervous and like make sure I say the right thing. I have a speech on Thursday that I'm just like up a wall about trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to say and working on it. So it's constant practice. I'm never nervous with you guys, but when I go out and do other things or like I'm speaking to people in person, I'm always turned to 10. So don't worry about it. It's just like a muscle. Joshua Nastasi says, I'm in accelerated nursing school and have limited free time, but I try to make your lives because your level-headedness and common sense is refreshing. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. You have so much other stuff going on in your life and you try to set aside some time to watch the lives. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. That is amazing. And good luck with your nursing program. That was something that I was going to do before doing this. The autistic professor says, had blow up with a friend on controversial issue recently. I was practically called a racist and compared to far-right abusive people. But then I met a new classmate that was open to conversations. As one door closes, another opens, as they say. And you'll find, you know, your worst fear of like losing a friend or being called a certain thing. Once it happens to you, you're like, oh, that's okay. Yeah. I can live through that. And I'm going to find other people on the other end of it. Okay, let's see. Albert Armstead says, oh, I just lost your super chat, Albert. Okay. It says, call me old fashioned, but there is nothing like a good old fashioned biological woman. Thank you. I appreciate that. Flynn Vassen says, hey, I just like helping you guys out with money. We can tell, Flynn. Thank we can you, tell. Flynn. Thank you so much. This next one, I don't have the name on this one, but it says, I remember mud pies and building tree houses high in the trees. Oh, and it's a super chat from
Locutic One.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I used to climb trees as a kid, and my mom would just let me do that. You know, a lot of parents will be like, no, don't hurt yourself. Or like, you know, they won't allow kids to explore. That's one of the best things you can do as a kid. It just like fortifies your mind and your body. Auto Creep Spider says, about what you said about watching a performance, Tool did let anyone use their phones till the very last song. They would get kicked out. Tool, I remember that band. Yeah, I think that's like moving forward a good thing to implement as an artist, because like I said, you have so much sway over your audience. Like you can just say anything and they will do it.
Yeah.
Just wild. So have them do something good, like unplug for what, 2 hours while you're performing? It's really not that much. What's next? Flynn Vassen said, if you had the ability to stop something, what would it be? To stop something? This cold. That's ravaging my body at the moment. No, if I had the ability to stop something... Oh gosh, I'm trying to think of something profound to tell you guys, and I don't know. Do you have an answer?
I would try my best to stop groupthink. Try and get people to think individually and pursue the truth.
Yeah, groupthink, tribalism, hive mind. That's a good answer. We're gonna go with Scott's answer. Dimitri D said, now let's not attribute the voice of reason to conservatives. Democrats have indeed gone nuts, but Republicans invented nuts. You know, I think there is plenty of lack of common sense on both sides of the aisle. I myself don't even know if I would call myself a Republican. Like, I don't even know what I would call myself. And I don't think, Scott's agreeing. Yeah. I certainly don't attribute reason solely to conservatives. If I had to pick a more reasonable side at the moment, it would be conservatives, certainly. But a lot of conservatives aren't Republicans. Which is really interesting. So there's a lot of just labels. I think there's reason where reason is. And sometimes that's in somebody who identifies as a Democrat or a liberal or conservative or independent or politically homeless. I just call out reason when I see it. I'm honestly moving against labels. I recently did a an interview with Trigonometry podcast, and we were talking about, like, what does it mean to be conservative? And I didn't get into it at the time. There's obviously this philosophical want to conserve tradition and, like, conserve a reverence for our founding and stuff like that. And by all means, I agree with that. But it's kind of hard to define because, like, there's liberals who agree at least on social issues. I'm going to sneeze with conservatives. And it's kind of hard to define at the moment. And a lot of people are leaving wokeness and saying, well, I don't want to call myself a conservative, but I certainly don't want the woke stuff. So I'm just like, oh, let's get rid of the labels. I'm over this stuff. Over it. Not over sneezing, though. Okay. Grace Bumpa says, you should try jiu-jitsu. I am also blind. You're blind? Whoa. And you're a jiu-jitsu fighter? That's insane.
Jiu-jitsu's all about grappling, correct?
I think for the most part.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like solely what it is, but I imagine, I think it's very heavily configured around that. But Grace, let us know in the comments down below. While I continue to die. Okay. GG Goji 2002 says, Amala, we love the Angela Davis look today, LMAO. You know, I got called Angela Davis a lot as a young person in throughout high school. And one day we did like character day at school and I did dress up as Angela Davis and I wore an Angela Davis t-shirt. So you hit the nail on the head. By the way, when are you going to make a video about all your conservative outfits? We love a fashionable queen. I've thought about making more like outfit content on Instagram and stuff because I know I do have like a female audience that likes to watch that stuff. I'm not sure about the male audience, how much you guys enjoy watching that, but certainly on Instagram, I'm open to putting more content like that. And I will work on that per your request. V, thank you for your super chat. And it's your first one. Appreciate that. Man Bear Pig, also your first super chat. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. And Derek J says, some conservatives can be pretty unreasonable with the trans ideology. Some individuals feel naturally trans and you almost never acknowledge that. I will say, you will not find a lack of acknowledgement of that on this channel. We talk about how gender dysphoria is very much real. Transgenderism, however, is very different from gender dysphoria. And, you know, I agree that there's a small subset of individuals who truly, deeply believe that they are transgender. But that's not to negate biological reality. So I'm never going to negate biological reality. But I will say, gender dysphoria, very much real, very true affliction. Manic says, hi, I love your content. Keep it up. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I think that is our last super chat. Did I get all of them?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean,
oh my gosh. I'm so good at keeping up with these, I guess.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm over here like trying to take pictures.
Guys, that is our show for today. We're going to have to figure out, I'm going to work through how we're going to do super chats from now on, since it is extending the show another hour and I have to respect the time of people who work on the show. We're going to figure it out. I'll get back to you on how that's going to work. Very soon we'll be announcing the 10 winners of the newsletter and email sign up. If you'd like to sign up for my email and newsletter, it's in the link in the description down below. We will eventually do another giveaway. Right now we're doing 10 of the unapologetic mugs plus a note from me and some unapologetic stickers. We're gonna pick 10 people. I will announce that hopefully next week, Monday. I hope that's gonna be the day that we announce the 10 winners, and we'll send you your mugs, your stickers, and your respective notes. And eventually we'll do more giveaways and things. So make sure you sign up for the email and newsletter. It's in the link in the description down below. Also, if you like to have conversations with people outside of the show, sign up for our Discord, which is also linked down below. And follow me on all other social media. I post different content on different places. So we got our YouTube content, Instagram content, Twitter, which I'm kind of lacking on, TikTok. So follow me on all those different platforms. And please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we post videos every single day, which you'll also get through our newsletter if you sign up. I'm going to go sneeze for 10 years now. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.